Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is, so they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
What is going on, Belly Up Sports fam? It's your favorite history teacher, Mr. Parker Ainsworth, here in another edition of FN Sports, the podcast where teachers grade sports biggest issues. And tonight we've got Kevin Wilson of Belly Up Sports, specifically within the fantasy channels, coming on to talk to us all about the NFC West. He's a big Seahawks fan. We get into that. We get into breaking down each team and giving them a preseason grade. So without further ado, let's jump on in. And we are joined tonight by Kevin Wilson, who I want to say of Belly Up fantasy sports fame, involved in a lot of the fantasy action normally, but you're also a Seahawks fan, and we're here to talk to the NFC West. How are you doing tonight, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Parker. How about yourself?
I'm good. It's weird to feel like football is back. We're recording on Thursday evening. The Rams and the Bills are currently playing. It is back. It is really, really back. We'll get into the Rams in a moment, but you are a Seahawks fan, and I know you've got a lot of ties to Utah, but talk us through the Seattle thing.
Okay, so, you know, you just mentioned that I'm from Utah, and there are no football team in Utah. So we've got to incorporate, so to speak. And when I was just a teenager, I went into the sporting goods store, and they had a bunch of helmets, you know, how they put them up, up on the wall or whatever. And I looked, and I saw a helmet, and I'm like, what team is that? And they're like, this is the Seahawks. And I thought that was the coolest helmet I had ever seen in my life. And so I decided, okay, so I like that. And then back in the day, they had Steve Largent, who still ranks, even though he's been retired for, 40 years or whatever, however long it's been, is still a top five wide receiver to me all time. And so and they were an exciting team. They were in the dumpster in the 90s. And then they made it to a couple of Super Bowls. And then their quarterback was named Wilson for a long time. So, you know, through thick and thin, I've been a Seahawk fan. And it certainly looks like this year is going to be thin.
It does look thin. We're going to get into them a lot more at the end of the episode. We're going to work based on how they finished last season, which actually takes us to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals won the division last season, and they had, we'll say, an interesting offseason, certainly in contract negotiations and homework and those kinds of things.
Yeah, the whole spiel there, yeah.
Kevin, if you were to guess, what kind of grade do you think the Cardinals are looking at getting this season?
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say B, and possibly a B plus if they can get past the 6-game suspension that Hopkins has got coming to him. And And I certainly hope it's a great season because I've got Murray. He's my fantasy quarterback that I just drafted in this league that I'm in. And so I'm all in on him. And James Conner, I also took him because he flipped in our draft to the third round. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And so I'm certainly hope B-plus is where they do finish.
So from a fantasy angle, obviously you've got some stuff invested in them. What makes you think a B-plus, and, you know, call me an idiot, I guess, but I feel like a B-plus is pretty high grade. So what do you think is going to go so well for them?
Well, they've got the weapons, and especially, you know, they brought in Brown. And so he played with the kind of quarterback that that Murray is, of course, with Lamar Jackson. And so I think that he can come in there and he will be busy those first six games. And I do like Rondale Moore there as another number two wide receiver. It may be even A.J. Green. They've got the receivers that they can kind of hold things together until Hopkins does, in fact, play. And he's like a big, huge free agent, you know, midseason signing. And so if they can get through the first six games, let's say 4-2, then they're going to be in pretty good shape, I think.
Well, and those first six games will be interesting. I think, you know, when we look at – when I think of the Cardinals, I think about, like, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, and maybe it's the film stuff that came up over the summer.
Yeah, but they got to get over all that whole – the whole summer thing. I never did quite understand how that at all became public. If they wanted that in this contract, you know, when he agreed to it, that's fine. But then the whole thing went public, and it just imploded. So hopefully they're past all that, and, you know, they went out and had a beer maybe later on or whatever. And so, and but you know, Cliff Kingsbury, he needs to do well this year, or he might be on the side of the road by the time this time next year.
It really, really might be, because I think of them as finishing the season poorly, and you're
they
hoping
did last year they finished it really, really bad.
And then if they inject on DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of the season, six games in, because it's a suspension with performance-enhancing drugs or whatever, they have to hope that they have a okay start and then finish strong, theoretically, right?
Right.
Do you feel like Kingsbury, Murray, those guys have that in them? They finish with Denver, Tampa, Atlanta, San Francisco are the last four games, or is this really just kind of being hopeful and optimistic and, you know, you hope to score a lot of points, but you don't know how well they'll actually do.
Those last four games that you just mentioned, it's a pretty tough gig. And so they need to be playing well when that comes around. And kind of like, you know, what happens out here with the Cowboys, and December rolls around and they got to be playing well, because 2-2 probably gets them in the playoffs in those four games if they're playing well before that.
Right, right. How well do you think that, like, can they go 500 with Hopkins out? Do you think they need to go, you know, because of that tough end of the schedule, they need to go more like 5-1, 6-0? Like, how much do they have to hold up without, you know, their best receiver?
If they're at 3-3, we'll say, or even 4-2, I think 4-2 is about as good as you could possibly hope they'll do. And if they're 4-2, and then they've got some cushion in between that and those last four games. So if they're at 4-2, I think they'll play pretty well. And then those four games won't matter as much. And they can actually, because the NFC this year is not the AFC, fortunately for every team, right? And so you can go. There's 17 games. You can go 9-8 or 10-7, and you're going to get in the playoffs. So I think that 10-7 is about the top of the standard for them, I think.
So we talked a lot about their offense because that's where the intrigue is. They added Marquise Brown. You know, what happens without DeAndre Hopkins, those kinds of things. What kinds of things do you see on their defense? I know that's not quite the fantasy angle. You are a big fantasy, big time fantasy guy, but what do you see out of their defense, both in the front seven, the back end? Like, Do they have any playmakers to keep an eye on this year, or is it really going to be up to Cliff Kingsbury and that like offensive style of football?
Well, I hope, you know, when it comes to their defense, that it's not up to Cliff Kingsbury. That's not his forte. It's never been. He was at Texas Tech where they put up 74 points or whatever, you know, per game. And so I think he's actually got some pretty good play callers on defense. They've got some pretty good, decent defense, which you're going to need to have. If you have to face the Rams twice a year and you have to face the 49ers twice a year, your defense, if it's not top, it's got to be in the top 10, I'm going to say. If you can do that, then you can hang in there pretty well.
Well, and Cliff's, I guess Cliff is also the offensive coordinator. His defense coordinator is a guy named Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph has had a long career in the NFL as an assistant. Starting back in like 05, he was a position coach, a DB's coach.
Yeah, back when a lot of people watching this were probably in diapers or whatever, but yeah.
and then his head coaching spot, he was a head coach of the Broncos for a couple of years that they're rebuilding.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
But he's been in Arizona for a while now, and, you know, not that it's all his fault. I would fault several people involved, but he's weirdly one of those guys that could be on the chopping block when they start clean house at the end of the season too, right? I mean, there are high hopes in Arizona. You mentioned, you know, 10-7, 9-8. I don't think Arizona's going to be so super happy with 9-8. Do you?
I don't think they would be, because that's just barely mediocre. So 10-7, if they go 10-7, they probably wouldn't be happy with that either, but it will get them at least into the playoffs, I think. And when you have to play the 49ers and you have to play the Rams four times, if you go 2-2 there, I think you'd be happy with that. And then you got the Seahawks, which we'll talk about in a minute. They've always given the Seahawks problems, even when they were not that good.
Right. And, yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd go into Seattle and they would win. And you're like, you know, Russell Wilson, what up? And so I think they can beat them 2 times. That's 4-2 within the division. If they don't go 4-2 in a division, I think we're going to have some serious issues here.
You mentioned the Rams, so I want to slowly segue or transition and talking about them as well. As we mentioned at the top, we are watching that game unfold.
Yep, it's now 24-10, so it's not looking good for Rams Nation.
No, it looks like a little Super Bowl hangover, or I guess, you know, maybe Von Miller was really that important. The Rams did win.
And he was blowing their doors off in the first half when I was watching it.
Yeah, he made an immediate impact. The Rams did win the Super Bowl last year, you know. You don't bring a guy like Stafford back without high hopes, not necessarily because he's had a lot of success before last season, but because he's clearly a win now type of quarterback because he is so old for this game, I guess I should say. He's only 34, but and we're seeing guys playing into their 40s, but 34 is relatively old for a football player. What grade do you think the Rams will have come season's end, Kevin?
Well, I'm going to discount this game right off the bat, because right now it's looking like maybe a D+. But I think that if they go, I'm gonna put them at the same level as the Cardinals, B+. And the only thing that, like I said, with the Cardinals as well, they're in the NFC, and so that helps them out a lot. Maybe 10-7 as well, 11-6.
So
put you in the playoffs too.
I'm about to say, you know, 11-6 certainly in the NFC, I think, will make the playoffs. And 11-6 in some divisions will win the division. As I look at the Rams, what's interesting is it feels like they have another roster of big, big names, right? Stafford, as you mentioned at the top here. But, you know, even in their backfield, I feel like I've seen Cam Akers' name for a long, long time. Cooper Kupp, Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. Allen Robinson steps in.
Yeah, I like Allen Robinson a lot. And I think that he's going to be the Allen Robinson from a couple of years ago, not last year, because it was a straight up horror show that was going on with him. He wasn't healthy. Plus, he played for the Bears, which certainly doesn't help your situation. But before that, he was a wide receiver one in his own right. And As a matter of fact, I was looking at the stats. He had, I got it right here. Where'd it go? The Rams. Allen Robinson had 200 catches for almost 2,400 yards the two seasons before that. And if he comes anywhere close to that, then the Rams passing game, Cooper Kupp is not going to be the same Cooper Kupp as last year. It just can't happen because he's had a wide receiver season for the ages. I still think that he could be certainly maybe the best wide receiver. I think Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver, but I put him right behind him. And so there's going to be some recession. There's got to be. I mean, the dude caught 147 balls, 145 for 1,947 yards and 16 touchdowns. He will not do that again.
Well,
but he doesn't need to do that again. He just needs to come relatively close to it. And then the Rams passing game is in good shape.
That's what I was going to say is I know in fantasy that his individual numbers are what people want to listen to from all that standpoint. But as a whole on offense, if he is close, the way it shifts the coverage will help the Rams out as a team.
Absolutely. And it'll certainly help Allen Robinson because they're going to have to double team Cooper Kupp. That's just the way it is.
Talk to me about the tight end position a little bit.
I like Tyler Higbee as a tight end. And I think there's some value there. If we're going to talk about, you know, fantasy, he's one of the tight ends. There's always a tight end in fantasy that comes out of nowhere, like Dalton Schultz a year ago. And he can be a top guy that you can get. I'm sure everybody's drafted by now, but he might be a guy that's on the waiver wire. I would check that, and I would definitely put him on your watch list because I think that he can do some things at tight end.
Speaking of the fantasy waiver wire, I would imagine Stephon Diggs is on zero waiver wires. He just caught a 53-yard touchdown pass to make this thing 31-10.
Okay, Stephon Diggs is certainly not on a waiver wire. And I would imagine that Gabriel Davis is also not on anybody's waiver wire.
Let's talk about the guys trying to cover them, though.
Interesting to see what would happen in this game. So far, the Rams are playing a disappointing game right now. And there were some questions about Matthew Stafford because he wasn't healthy in the preseason. Of course, he didn't play, which that's the new thing nowadays. If you're a starter, you're not going to see the field in the preseason. And in the first, he looked okay. He threw a touchdown to Cooper Kupp. So there's your first touchdown to him. And he has to be healthy. You can say that about just about any quarterback in the NFL, but he needs to be the Matthew Stafford that he was a year ago. And the running backs for the Rams really kind of trouble me a little bit. And this game has shown that because Cam Akers, last I looked, had two carries.
Well, so they've been given
what's going on with him.
They've been given a load more, it looks like to me, to Henderson.
Henderson had four times as many carries as he. And so it looks right now like Henderson is the guy that they might be leading on. Maybe there's still something going on with his, maybe he's fully not healthy. I don't know what's going on with Cam Akers, but I'm glad I had nothing to do with him whatsoever when the fantasy draft came around.
If we look at the defense for a second, Kev, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are the big names. They added, You're a Seattle guy. They add Bobby Wagner as well. And, you know, Bobby Wagner's 32 now. He's not the 24.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner is not the Bobby Wagner of old. So but they certainly recognize that. He could be still an effective player, but he's not the wrecking ball that he was in the Legion of Boom. He doesn't.
Well, and as a Utah guy, he's a Utah State kid too.
That's right.
I guess my question is, obviously they're getting torn apart right now by Buffalo as we're recording this, but what expectations should someone – I mean – Aaron Donald's one of the best players of all time. His prime, Jalen Ramsey and Bobby Wagner, you would say the same. What's a realistic expectation for this defense?
Well, their defense needs to be in the top, I'm going to say, five. It has that potential. And any defense that has Aaron Donald on it, and you can make an argument that Aaron Donald is the best player in the NFL. and he can disrupt the game like no one else. And so if you've got him and you've got one of the better cover corners over there in Jalen Ramsey, and they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with the great disruptor that's now playing for the Buffalo Bills. Because like I was saying, he was all over the field when I was watching him. And so, yeah, maybe they don't need to be in the top, like I'm saying, but they can't slip very far off the mountainside on the defense.
No, and I think it's interesting because you would think a defense that based itself around Aaron Donald would be, but they have these three big names, and like we said, Wagner and Ramsey on the older side of their careers. I guess Donald does too, but he just still looks so good.
Right, he just blows people's doors off. And
I worry about, like, you know, is Leonard Floyd going to be relied on a lot? And what does he look like at 30 years old? You know, Tyler Rapp at safety. I worry that some of their guys are maybe past their peak in a way that...
There are a lot of them that are, and that's the way that they plan that whole thing. Because they played to win last year,
which yeah,
of course they did, and so the, you know, the train could come completely off the tracks right now, and they've got a championship. And I don't think that the Rams, because it's hard to win back to back championships in the first place, because no one's done it since the Patriots in 2004, something like that. And so I don't look for them to. They can win the division, but I don't see them getting back. Maybe they could even get back to the Super Bowl, but winning it, I think, is a different question altogether.
Well, and to be fair, you know, they went to Super Bowl a few years back and played the Pats, had a big offensive, like, you know, disappointment, and then came back and won it a few years later. I think most fans would be happy about, you know, a run like that.
Well, they better be happy with it. They don't have, like, what, a first round pick till 2035 or something. And there comes my cat to agree with me right there. So
the team that will benefit the most from the Rams kind of, you know, pumping the brakes or going off the tracks or whatever feels like to me it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers. The
49ers are a legitimate playoff contender. And I'm sure, you know, our friend Justin would be more than happy to hear me say that, because he's a 49ers guy through and through.
So what grade do you think the Niners are going to have come season's end?
That all depends on Trey Lance. And so if he's – and it's difficult because now you've got Jimmy G looking over his shoulder on every single snap, every single practice. And I don't think that the leash is going to be very long for Trey Lance. I think he can do it. And if you drafted him thinking that he was going to be something, he may well be something. But then again, if they struggle, I don't think they're going to wait long to signal to the bullpen, Jimmy, let's get in here. Because like I said, right, I think they have a legitimate playoff team. They have a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl, I think. And so they're not going to sit around and let their season start at, like, let's say 1-3 or something like that.
Well, so what do you think people see at a Lance? Like, what's the upside? What's the potential? Because it's not just every day we hand an offense of a Super Bowl contender to a 22-year-old kid in their second year, but they are. So what is it that they see?
So they see him as being Lamar Jackson. He has the same kind of skill set. He can take the ball and take it around the end, and either he could pitch it or he could throw it at the last minute. And that's the kind of offense right there that the NFL, well, they're used to seeing it more now because of Lamar Jackson and guys like him and Murray and things like that. And so that's the kind of thing I think they're looking to get Murray. They're looking to get Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson, he exploded onto the scene. Remember his first year, he wasn't a whole lot. Then all of a sudden, he was the MVP until they got to the playoffs. And so that just is what it is. But that's what they see him as being, as that kind of a quarterback. And he can be that. And the kind of rushing ability that he has is something that adds to that offense. And it's something that they're going to certainly have to, they're going to have to change their offensive identity, because Jimmy Garoppolo surely could not do that.
Well, let's talk through the weapons they surround. So any young quarterback is going to rely heavily on a handful of weapons you put around him. The guys that put around Lance, right? The running game in itself, I feel like the running game is really more of a function of Coach Shanahan, right?
Right. And so don't depend on any of their, if you're in a fantasy mode, Elijah Mitchell, I guess, is about as good as a running back as you're going to find. But they do that thing where they play this guy kind of like the Patriots have in the past, where you don't know, this guy might score two touchdowns in 1 week, and all of a sudden the next week he gets five carries.
Right, so, and they even will sometimes pull Deebo Samuel back there, right?
Deebo Samuel, and that's going to be the interesting question for them, because he turned that whole thing, that whole offense on its head, because he could run it, he could catch it, and then he started squawking about, well, he didn't want to run it, but that's why they wanted to pay him money. And so that's probably not the way I would have approached that. You know what I mean?
They're willing
to pay you this amount of money, but you're not willing to do that, which got you the contract in the first place. They might scale that back a little bit, but they're going to have him do some end arounds and things that really, you know, took the Cowboys right out of their game plan.
Yeah.
This past year.
And then we would be remiss and not talk about George Kittle. Every young quarterback needs a good tight end. George Kittle is in the top handful of guys in the league.
Yeah, that's not somebody I'm touching.
Well, so in a fantasy perspective, no, but Kittle is also a tremendous blocker that can show up in fantasy.
He's probably the best tight end blocker there is.
And so what kind of advantage does George Kittle offer a guy like Trey Lance, or is the passing game going to hurt so much it doesn't matter?
Well, it's going to matter because, first of all, he needs to be healthy. And I was reading that he's having some issues in the preseason. And but if he's healthy, that's the kind of guy that if I'm Trey Lance, I'll just get behind him and let him lead me to the promised land, because he's a good block, maybe the best blocking tight end. And so if he is doing that, then all kinds of things could happen on the end arounds and pitch outs and all that sort of thing. May not really give a whole lot to his catches, which he'll get his share of catches, but he is not the top five tight end that he, as far as catching, that he once was.
One, it doesn't sound like you're confident he'll get the opportunities, even if he's
right.
Exactly,
he's
as talented.
A great blocker that takes him away from catching the football. Dalton Schultz can't block like he can, and he's not expected to, and that's why Dalton Schultz will catch far more passes this year, I think, in the Cowboys offense than what will happen with the 49ers.
So as we look at the Niners, let's also think through like the defense side of the ball, right? Because we're talking about a run game, a running quarterback, a shrinking of their pass game. What is their defense going to look like? Are there any studs you think the names stick out of, or is this really just going to be all on Trey Lance's shoulders?
I don't think it's going to be all on Trey Lance. And one thing that needs to be said about him is he needs to demonstrate, like Russell Wilson could get down or get out of bounds like few quarterbacks, which is fortunate because he got hit so many times in the Seattle offense. If he's going to be doing that, you know, with the runs and everything else, he's going to be exposed to a lot of hits. And so he needs to be able to figure out, well, the play is over, so I need to go down or out of bounds so he doesn't give up his body. And so that's one of the things I'm going to be looking at coming into the season. Can he, don't be giving up your body to the gods because you want one more yard.
So, on their defense though, what names stick out to you as guys to pay attention to?
Well, certainly got to pay attention to Bosa. Right. So, and if I was a 49ers guy, which if you're a Seahawk fan, that is a literal impossibility. You cannot be a Seahawks and a 49ers fan all at the same time. It just doesn't work. So, but I think they've got a pretty good mix of their up forward, their defensive line, linebackers, defensive backs. And so they could be a solid defense. And if that's what happens, then Trey Lance doesn't have to put up 30 points per game.
Fair enough. I think the natural segue to Seattle will be the comparison you made, the lessons that Lance can learn from Wilson. I feel like everyone's really high on the Niners, and I feel like it's just a risky, I feel like putting a lot in on the Niners right now would be fairly risky of a proposition just because of the unknown. Seattle, you're a big fan. Trey Lance.
Unfortunately for me this year, yes.
Trey Lance has a lot to learn from old Russell Wilson tape. Before we get too far, what grade do you think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to earn this season?
I'm going to say D.
All right. So, frankly, I'm glad we didn't get an F there.
If they win five games, I will be shocked.
So,
be quite honest with you.
What do you have to be optimistic about? Because they are resetting, they are rebuilding. It's a lot of new faces. Is there anyone you're like, I just need to see growth out of this guy?
The interesting part about them, aside from the quarterback position, they have weapons. They've got, Metcalf. He's only 23 years old. And Tyler, even though it seems like he's been around for 150 years now, he's still a solid wide receiver. And Noah Font can be, because Russell Wilson never used a tight end.
Right.
The whole time he was up there in Seattle. And so, but he's not there. So Noah Font can be a solid tight end. Rashad Penny was probably the best running back coming down the stretch the last five games of the season a year ago. He actually had 200 yards rushing in one game. And so, but the issue with him is he was absent before that. And then you got Walker, and he's a rookie, so you don't know what you're going to get out of him. And Carson, his neck, kind of like he was like Frankenstein, and he had bolts on the side of his, unfortunately for him, that ended his career.
Yeah.
And so Carson.
I don't mean the laugh, the Frankenstein thing.
But, but that's his neck. And if you have a neck injury, you certainly don't want to be on a football field, because that's the kind of thing that you may not walk away from ever again. And so I think between the two running backs, between Walker and between Penny, their running game is going to be okay. They actually use some coin on their offensive line this year, which I think is kind of interesting, because Russell Wilson was like, can I please get an offensive line? And they never did do that. And this past year, they used their first round pick on an left tackle. I'm sure Russell Wilson was like, where was that dude? Maybe I wouldn't have got sacked 47 times a year or whatever.
Right.
So they're building their offensive line. They've got all the things going for them. But when they made that trade, I said, well, please don't let Drew Lock be the starter. Well, Drew Lock is not the starter. Geno Smith is. And that does not bring any confidence whatsoever. And
yeah, be careful what you wish for, Kevin.
That's right. So Geno Smith is the starter. He is a good backup. He showed that he could, he was when Russell Wilson was hurt, he was not anything spectacular. And so he can be the backup, but as the starter, it's got disaster written all over it. And so the only thing that gives me optimism is they won't play well, and they'll get maybe like CJ Stroud from Ohio State in the draft next year.
Well, and so you perfectly segued me because that was going to be where I was going with this. Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, yeah. Levis, the guy to Kentucky, although I've heard mixed reviews there. It weirdly feels like they've got all of this talent that you just mentioned. They're going to not win a whole lot of games. And then they're going to have another young quarterback on a rookie contract with a bunch of talent around him. It feels weirdly like the potential for 2023 is kind of like the team back in 2010-11 when they had Wilson on the rookie contract and their money was being spent on defense, but they had a lot of talent around.
That's why they had the Legion of Boom and was able to pay Marshawn Lynch and all those guys. And so, but then Russell Wilson got signed for, what was it, $40 million or whatever. Then all of a sudden, now there's no money left.
So, yeah.
Right? So that's one of the reasons why he's in Denver now. And so it's possible. You don't want to hatch a whole lot of, you know, because we're not even at 2023 yet. And
No, fair.
You know what I mean? But so to sit there and say, okay, we're going to bring in a rookie quarterback and we're going to go back to winning 10 games, maybe you need to have a little longer lens than that, and maybe 2 years from now. Because that's what happened. It's his rookie year, he got him to the playoffs, and then the second year is when he won.
Well, and he was very good his rookie year, I remember. I just it's like you're saying, the second year, then they're Super Bowl kind of good. Is there any defensive name on the Seahawks the fans need to know about?
There is none.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, though. Just
sorry. You know, it's not the Legion of Boom anymore. It really isn't. It could be good, but good is about as good as you think that you're going to get out of them. If they can climb into the top 20, then there you go.
Right, and that's a long way away from the Seattle we used to know and love. I really liked watching the Legion of Boom play. I'm not a Seattle fan. I liked watching them play a lot. Kevin, as we wrap up here, you're a big fantasy guy. You are super active in the Belly Up fantasy community. Where can people find you, your work, your shows, your writing, etc.? Where are you these days?
Well, we have a show, the Belly Up Fantasy Live Football. It was the Dynasty Edition, but now that we're starting the season, it's going to be the Sunday morning preview. It comes on at 11 Sunday mornings Eastern time and 10 o'clock where we live. And so so we got that going on. And starting next week, I'm going to be discussing who you want to pick up off the waiver wire in fantasy football. As we all know, the waiver wire is where you win a championship. You can draft and you draft great, but then all of a sudden your guy gets hit on the knee and all of a sudden, bam. So I'm going to have an article coming out once a week for that, who to pick up off the waiver wire. And we're also in the middle of the fantasy baseball playoffs. And so we have our Belly Up Fantasy Live baseball show that comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. And we're going to do that until we're told to leave the air. And so we got that. And you can always find me on Twitter at Kevin62WILSEA. Yep, I still got SEA in my name. So it'll be that way till I pass away or whatever. But that's the way it is. Seattle, my team, just that's the way it is.
Kev, thanks so much for coming on today.
Okay, Parker, so the thesis statement for this commercial is James Harden has the best beard in sports. What do you think about that thesis statement?
Oh, I give it an A. You know, as a Houston guy, we seem to have an affinity for our beards between guys like him, Dallas Keuchel, lots of big beards in the Houston area. What do you think about the thesis?
So I'm a Jets fan, and I absolutely love the beard that Ryan Fitzpatrick has. So maybe I would give Ryan Fitzpatrick the nod over James Harden. But You're talking to a couple of bearded teachers, and we know a thing or two about making sure that you maintain that mane. So check out the Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle, they make oils, they make balms. They even have this heated comb to make sure that you get your beard straight so that you're looking fresh.
I know I've really enjoyed using the oil they make for my quarantine beard of sorts. It's nice and long these days. It helps keep it nice and healthy and hydrated. And if you're listening to our show, you can use FN Sports 15 and get 15% off your oils, your balms, your shampoos, conditioners, whatever you need to use to keep your beard looking healthy.
Absolutely. Check out The Beard Struggle at thebeardstruggle.com. Whether you're just starting to grow or you have a luscious mane already, The Beard Struggle's got all the products that you need. The Beard Struggle. Feast your face.
All right, friends, do you feel like you got a little bit better understanding about what is coming in the NFC West this season? Shouts to Kev. Thanks for coming on today and talking NFC West with us, even if you're not super high on your own Seahawks. I love having that. If you need any fantasy help in any sport, baseball, football, they're going to do hockey this season. We're talking about doing basketball as well. Make sure you follow Kev on Twitter. It's at Kevin62Will, W-I-L. C-S-E-A, C like Seattle. That's Kevin62. We'll see. He does all the fantasy content that you could ever want and more. If you're looking for this show on social media, you can find us on Instagram at F_N_sports and on Twitter at FNSports2. That's FINSPORTS, number two, all one word. On both accounts, you can go to the link tree in the bio and find links to all of our sponsors. That's Yeti, The Beard Struggle, and TheClutch.com. Etc. You'll also be able to use those link trees to get to our merch store, in which we're selling a different t-shirt, cap, hoodie, or mug each month to support various charitable causes. September is Alzheimer's Awareness Month, so we're selling a Flunk Alzheimer's t-shirt. I got it on right now. It's very, very comfortable. It's very, very purple, and I really, really like it in the red F. It's got an old Toronto Raptors vibe. All of the proceeds from those shirt sales will go directly to the Alzheimer's Association. So make sure you go support a great cause, support the show, and grab a shirt that says Flunk Alzheimer's. If you're looking for me and my personal stuff on social media, I'm at Painsworth512. That's at PAINSWORTH 512 on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be posting things I'm recording, things that I'm writing, things that I'm losing or winning on sneakers. I did get those Fire Reds on Saturday a little bit ahead of time, so get those. That's nice. I'll also talk about my Texas Longhorns, which have a tough test against Alabama, to say the least. We also talk about my Houston Rockets, who just managed to make every game a tough test, to say the least. You can find all of those things when you follow me at Painsworth512, PAINSWORTH 512 on all forms of social media. If you're looking to support the show for free, you can hit download, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, leave us a positive comment, and whatever you do when it comes to sports, don't flunk with us. Later, guys.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.